This is an encore presentation of Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte 1270 AM and the Carolina Catholic Media Network of live coverage from the 2023 Charlotte March for Life.
This is Carolina Catholic Media Showcase.
Good afternoon, Carolina Catholic family. This is Elizabeth Harris. I serve as Senior Regional Programs Manager for Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and I'm live right now in Uptown Charlotte, North Carolina. We are so excited to welcome in all those that are marching from the Pastoral Center for the Catholic Diocese of Charlotte. All right, guys, I'm going to have Debbie Capen come on. Debbie is an incredible woman who is the executive director of MiraVia, and I'm going to let her tell you about MiraVia in just a minute. But, Debbie, it's great to see you. I know it's a chilly day. We're all kind of shaking a little bit. It's a little chilly, but we're here to really honor the preborn child in the womb and to honor motherhood and life. And what better way to do that than to do what you do at MiraVia? And so please share a little bit about MiraVia.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. And if it wasn't cold, I don't think we'd know what to do, because it's a way we can sacrifice while we're here. But MiraVia has been around since 1994. So we have two programs to assist pregnant women. We have an outreach center in Charlotte where we have served tens of thousands of women and children, providing the basic needs that a mom needs to be able to just support her child and feel loved and feel a part of a community. And they can stay in that program for a year. And then we have a really unique program for college students at Belmont Abbey College, where we started one of the first in the nation maternity residences for pregnant students. And what's amazing about that is, because it was a first, no one was sure how it would go. True leap of faith. And God is good. And so we have now become a destination for pregnant college students. They have come from as far away as Texas. We've had women from 9 states and 12 colleges come. They live with us. They can stay with us until their child is 2 years old. And we provide all the comprehensive support around them so that they can stay in school.
Right.
And reach their goals.
Yes. And I personally had a tour of MiraVia and so impressed by not only the community with the residents and how they interact with one another and one another's children, but also just the nourishing meals that are served and the ability to have help with childcare, right? So that they can go to class and study. And also the ability to be on the campus, you know, next to Belmont Abbey College. But not all the girls attend Belmont Abbey. They have the option to go to other schools as long as they're registered in a school, is my understanding, or a skills-type program, correct?
Yes. We've had everything from a 2-year program to master's level. About 40% of our moms end up enrolling at Belmont Abbey if they've come from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But really, the majority of our moms are at other schools, but they need and they crave that companionship with other women going through the same thing.
Yes, and isn't that such a beautiful thing to witness? Because often, I would imagine they feel alone. They're like, I'm the only pregnant student, or I'm the only one that has a baby, and I'm trying to get through my exams. I mean, these are very unique needs of these young women. And I'll tell you, I think I was just newly 21 when I became pregnant with my daughter. And I wish I had known about a place like MiraVia, because I didn't know. And I didn't know that I could have gone to college. I could have had support. And I think that is like one of the bottom lines, is that it's a blessing to have MiraVia here in the Diocese of Charlotte, but also the fact that you guys can serve women from across the nation that qualify for the program, right? And they can live there for up to 2 years. And I believe you have the capacity to even accept, is it one you have one client that could have another child?
Tell me
about that.
Yeah, so our most of our residential units are designed for one mom and one baby, but we deliberately included 4 suites that have 2 bedrooms, so that if a mom has a child already, that we can accommodate them. And we have had multiple moms come who had a toddler, and, And also, we're waiting for the day that somebody has twins, too. Maybe they might need that
actress. You never know.
Yeah, I love that. It's so, so good. And I love your gala that you have every year. It's actually, like, one of my very favorite events, and it's, like, a tradition for me to go. Can you tell us about that, like, when it is? I don't know if you have a date yet set next year.
We are working on that, as always, in October, so
okay.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
You can go to miravia.org and find out more there as we post the date as soon as it's set. In fact, Abby Johnson, who's here today, she was one of our keynote speakers. And,
right.
And the banquet, frankly, is how I first got involved, too. You know, I was looking for a way to connect with the pro-life community. I'm post-abortive and was looking...
Yes.
Had come back to the faith and found out about this ministry. And you go to that event, and I can say that because I didn't start there, but, you know, you go and you can feel the Holy Spirit there. And, and you leave there feeling so invigorated and ready to just go out into our community and to support women and do everything that we can. And I would love to invite, you know, people to come to that and to come see our new outreach center in Charlotte. We just expanded our outreach center.
Tell me more about that. So it's bigger. It's a bigger space.
Yes.
A newer building.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can accommodate, you know, double the number of clients. And it's, in God's timing. We had been thinking about moving for years, and here everything fell into the place the same year that Dobbs was overturned. And so in a time when people get accused of not supporting women and children, you know, here we are expanding. So,
right.
You know, only God could have foreseen that.
Right. And we need it now more than ever. I mean, we're in a post-Roe America. Unfortunately, in North Carolina, abortion is still legal up through 20 weeks.
Right.
And we need more resources for women and families. And we have to keep in mind that women are coming here for abortion now from out of state. And so there's even more of a need to meet the needs of women in crisis. Women are all, even though Roe has been overturned, we know that women are still facing unplanned pregnancies, and families are still in need of our love and our support. And tell me just a little bit more about how someone could get involved and come in and be a part of that program, the Outreach Center.
Yeah, absolutely. First, I would love to invite all the listeners to follow us on social media, because that's how women find out that we exist.
Yeah.
And, you know, then come and tour and just see. I always love to ask people, like, what would you like to do?
Yeah.
What would fill your heart?
Yes.
You know, and we will plug people in. And it could be as simple as packaging diapers, or it could be doing a life skill class.
Right.
You know, we want everyone to feel that they are truly a part of it, because they are.
Yes. Everyone has unique gifts and talents. And sometimes it means their treasure, right? That they're what they want to give, right? And
yes.
And that is always a blessing, I know.
Yes.
So we, you know, I know nonprofits rely on the generosity of donors as well. So again, the gala is one of my very favorite things to attend. I'm always blown away at the number of people in attendance.
Yes, yes.
It brings a lot of people together. The speakers are always top notch. And the meal is always good. So
the convention center has found a lot of ways to serve chicken.
Yeah. Well, they do a phenomenal job. Believe me, I've been to a lot of fundraisers, and it is like up there at the very top, okay?
Good to hear.
So, Debbie, why are you here today marching? Why are you a part of this event today?
Well, as I mentioned before, it started, I've been coming for the 17 years that it's been in existence before I was with Miravia, because as a post-abortive woman, I felt the one thing I could do is give witness.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
and you know, what more could I do? And so that's why I continue to come, because we need to show up.
Yes, we need to show up.
We need to show up, and we need to support each other. And I always think of these things as little, you know, boosters that then give us the energy and excitement to go back out to our homes, our workplaces, our families, and not be afraid to speak the truth.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how many people are here today. I can't see the full crowd just because I'm standing here under this beautiful work of art. It's just really big and blocking my full view. How does it look compared to previous years, even last year?
I would say, and I've heard other people say that they think it's the biggest. And I would say it grows every year. So it's amazing to see that this little event has just continued to have momentum and steam.
That's beautiful. I was really curious, because I know, unfortunately, because Roe was overturned, some people have felt like, oh, well, why would I need to still be there, or what is there to do still? And that's really just a misunderstanding of what has happened with the Dobbs versus Jackson case and what that did. It just gave the power back to the state.
And so, you know, if you're in Western North Carolina, in the Diocese of Charlotte, I encourage you to reach out maybe to Debbie Capon and get involved as a volunteer. Find out about their gala. Come and just check things out. Do a tour. Call and request a tour. Find out more about the beautiful resources that are available in the Diocese of Charlotte to help meet the need of women and families. So thank you, Debbie, for your presence.
Thank you for
always
having
good
me.
To see
good
you.
To see you.
And God bless you.
Too.
God
thank
bless you.
You.
I'm learning how to hug with a headset on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the beautiful rosary is still taking place right now in the heart of Uptown, and we have some young people up on the stage right now. I'm not sure where they're from, but I love seeing the young people. I know that the March for Life in D.C. is really tremendous, and there are so many young folks there, young college students, high school students, children, and really the young people are the future of our pro-life movement. I see some Students for Life signs bouncing around, which is great. We love to see Students for Life activity here. I know that Students for Life and Sidewalk Advocates for Life partner through their Abortion Free Cities initiative, and that has been a blessing. They love for their team to get trained as Sidewalk Advocates to take our basic training. And if you're just joining us right now, I'm just going to introduce myself again. I'm Elizabeth Harris. I serve as the Senior Regional Programs Manager for the national organization Sidewalk Advocates for Life. And I have the pleasure of, being a sidewalk counselor and a sidewalk advocate in Asheville, North Carolina, in front of the Planned Parenthood. We always stand on the public right-of-way, and we do peaceful, loving outreach to try to be the hands and feet of Christ, to be there at that last opportunity to speak to a woman as she's going into that abortion facility, and to speak to her companion, to try to offer them help and hope and resources, and perhaps they go in and go through with that abortion, and we still want to be there when they come out to offer them information on abortion pill reversal in case that child can still be spared from death through abortion pill reversal protocols and progesterone treatment. We want to be there at that moment when those women are leaving those abortion facilities to also hand them information on, post-abortion healing. We know they've gone through with that abortion, we want to make sure that they know there's an opportunity for healing when they're ready. We work with organizations such as Support After Abortion, which is really available, and they connect people to different post-abortive type ministry and healing opportunities and programs that are very individualized to meet that woman's needs wherever she's at, whether she's a believer in Christ or not. They're really trying to personalize the connection or the referrals that they're making, and they utilize different organizations and refer out. So they have a great phone number and website, a support after abortion. So check that out. I will mention that we have a couple of more speakers here today. We've got Father Brian Becker, who is the pastor at St. Margaret Mary in Swannanoa, North Carolina, and that just happens to be my parish. So I do see Father Becker here wandering around, but he is in the middle of praying the rosary, so I'm not going to interrupt him to interview him right now, but I just want to say what a blessing it is to have pastors who are sharing the gospel of life during their homilies. It is such a powerful message for the people of the flock to be hearing, right? And I know that Father Peter Asik has he started the Sidewalk Advocates for Life location in Charlotte. He was the leader that got it started. He has several co-leaders that work with him. And when he comes out to the sidewalk to minister, to pray, it tends to be that more people come, right? So more people show up because Father Peter is there. And, of course, I know Father Peter, he's a very humble man, and he does not want any of the credit. However, I do know that his leadership inspires others to be called to action, And so I just want to thank Father Peter right now, Father Peter Asik, for his work through the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Charlotte, and also for his witness for life, his peaceful, prayerful, loving witness for life. I've been out on the sidewalk with Father Peter, and he is just so humble. And I have a little bit of Irish in me, and I a little bit of fire in me. And so I was here locally at the abortion facility, and it's very, very challenging to constantly remain in a state of humility. But it is so important to see the abortion workers, also the clinic escorts, in a way that is loving. Because that is the way that Christ looks at them, is to see them as a child of God, and he wants nothing more than for them to turn to him and to know him and have relationship with him, and for them to have a life that is an abundant life. So I just want to share that thankfully the Hebron Clinic has closed down, and I know now Father Peter Asik and his team of sidewalk advocates are now at the Planned Parenthood in Charlotte, serving there. And so I just want to mention that the Supreme Court Dobbs decision, it overturned Roe, right? And ultimately, it allowed states to decide to ban or limit abortion within their borders. But that decision did not put an end to crisis pregnancies, right? So we need to know about resources and help available, like Miravia, also Walking with Moms in Need, and pregnancy care centers in the community that are ready and willing to help. A lot of the pregnancy care centers offer free pregnancy testing and free ultrasounds, limited OB ultrasounds. Some of them even do free prenatal clinics for basic prenatal assessment to get someone kind of set up before their pregnancy Medicaid kicks in. There's Dr. Harrison. Dr. Matthew Harrison serves as a medical director for HELP Center, which is in Monroe, North Carolina. And I know that he does one of those free prenatal clinics. I believe it's once a month. So thank you, Dr. Harrison, for the amazing work that you're doing. I know that you're going to be in Raleigh tomorrow speaking at the North Carolina Right to Life Prayer Breakfast. And we're just so excited. I'm going to be there tomorrow, too, so I'm excited to hear him talk. Always a blessing to hear Dr. Harrison speak. So pregnant women all across our nation, they continue to need our help, whether abortion is legal, illegal, or limited in their state. It's more important than ever for pro-life individuals and organizations to work together to serve women and protect the sanctity of life. So Sidewalk Advocates for Life, as I mentioned before, is the nation's largest sidewalk outreach or sidewalk counseling organization that I am so blessed to be a part of. And I serve on the national team. I've been with them for over 3 years, and every day that I work is a blessing. The folks that I get to serve with are the most incredibly generous and charitable and loving people. And I am blessed every day to serve alongside of them in this national organization, which is a ministry, and really I live and breathe it. Everything in my suitcase that I pack is Sidewalk Advocates for Life gear, which cracks me up. So I'm here today representing Carolina Catholic Media, and just so honored to be here just for my first experience here at the March for Life in Charlotte. So I'm usually in the capital, Washington, D.C., in the march there, and it feels like D.C. here because it's so cold right now. But my awesome co-workers from Sidewalk Advocates for Life and Lauren Muzica, our CEO and president, will be there next week in D.C., so make sure to look for them. They're going to be represented also at the Pro-Life Summit, which happens. Students for Life puts that on every year, so stop by and see Linda there. I think it's Linda will be there from our team, Linda and Stacy, and then Lauren Muzica and Nate Robertson and some others will be in D.C. doing some of the festivities there, attending the Law of Life Summit, the gala for Vans for Life. So much happening building up to the march. and around that time. So if you're in D.C., I hope you have a safe trip there and back to wherever you're going. I know that we have some buses that are going this year from our diocese, so maybe there's some open seats left. I don't know, but get in touch with Jessica Grabowski. It's through the Diocese of Charlotte. If you need more information, her information can be found on the Office of Family Life website. So she's the person to reach out to about those buses. So I just want to mention that Sidewalk Advocates for Life, if you were to take the training, it is a basic training that would fully equip you to do loving, peaceful outreach in front of an abortion or abortion referral facility. And if you don't have a Sidewalk Advocate for Life location where you are, then please consider leading a location. We have a very simple application process on our website where you can go to sidewalkadvocates.org and just click apply, the blue apply button, and we will contact you and do an interview type call where we just kind of get to know you and your heart for this work. And it's very, very simple approval process. We highly encourage folks to have a co-leader, to build up a co-leader team, and to have that first basic training to train folks up. At the end of a basic training, everyone has the opportunity to sign what we call the Pledge of Integrity, which really upholds the spirit of what we do as Sidewalk Advocates. And that pledge is something that keeps our advocates on the sidewalk throughout the beginning of the pandemic when places were shut down. And folks, some sidewalk counselors were unfortunately, arrested for being out on the sidewalk. But thank God, praise the Lord, our sidewalk advocates remain faithful, remained out of jail. We have the awesome Thomas More Society that always supports us and works alongside of us. Alliance Defending Freedom is another beautiful organization that defends free speech rights. And so throughout the pandemic, our sidewalk advocates remained on the sidewalk, faithful across the nation at our over 200-plus locations that we have. And we are growing so much. Our new vision is just every sidewalk, every soul. And basically, every sidewalk, we want to cover every single uncovered sidewalk in front of an abortion facility or abortion referral facilities. And now we're even taking our outreach into the town square. So if you want any more information about Sidewalk Advocates for Life, you can go to sidewalkadvocates.org and check out our website and see what we're doing. Look up your city and state and see if you have anything near you. And if not, consider joining us. This is Elizabeth Harris, and I am with Carolina Catholic Media, and we are at AM 1270. I hope you're listening live. I'm going to have Father Brian Becker come up in just a moment to share why he's here today marching and to be a part of the interview here. And I love Father Becker. He's an incredible pastor. If you come to our church, you're going to know that we stand for life, that we have a consistent presence at Planned Parenthood. There's a prayer group that goes once a month at the Asheville Planned Parenthood. And Father Becker is the one that committed our parish to be there once a month to come out and pray and bathe that place in prayer. We need the spiritual realm to come down from heaven to be with us as we pray. We know that anytime we're there in prayer, the Lord is with us, especially when two or more are gathered. And so Father Becker will come up in just a minute. And then we have an official Sidewalk Advocate team here. I see three of them in front of me, three co-leaders from Sidewalk Advocates for Life. I'm hoping that I'll get at least one of them to come up and interview in just a minute. But I am just so thrilled. We've kind of wrapped up the speakers here now. Folks are starting to depart from the area here. So it looks like they've wrapped up and closed. And I am going to welcome Father Becker up in just a minute. Of course, someone is talking to him right now. So I know that he's a busy bee, and I know that he is he's a promoter of vocations in the Charlotte Diocese. So he gets to talk to people as they are discerning whether it's a man or a woman discerning a a religious vocation, whether that's the priesthood or something different. And I just love that Father Becker does that. He has such a heart, especially, I think, for our beautiful seminarians and for our seminarians here that he works intimately with. And what else? Here he comes. I didn't...
How are you?
I'm great. How are you? I didn't want to disturb the rosary. I didn't want to interrupt the rosary for you. So I thought, I'll just wait. I'll just keep talking, and then I'll have Father Beck come over. So can you hear? Okay, great. Be careful. This is like an uneven ground here.
Okay.
So we've just wrapped up the end speaker, and I think it was a great turnout this year. Yeah, were you here last year?
I was here last year.
Okay, what do you think about the crowd?
The crowd, it was comparable to last year, but, you know, of course, these things, they're never about numbers, but I'm always overjoyed with the quantity of people who do turn out on what is always a blustery January day.
Is it? See, I've never been, but I'm usually in D.C., and it's always blustery.
It's not D.C., but it's certainly cold for Charlotte weather.
It is. So, Father Becker, what I was talking a little bit. I said that you're the pastor. I attend St. Margaret Mary Parish. I mentioned that you're the promoter of vocations for the diocese and that you're very close with a lot of the seminarians. And we have a lot of them come and serve at St. Margaret Mary. And can you tell me just a little bit about your role in that with the diocese?
Sure, of course. Yeah, so I get to serve as promoter of vocations. And so I like to say I'm kind of the hype guy. I'm the one to go out and to talk up how wonderful the priesthood is.
Yes.
And I'm blessed to be able to work with our men as they're on their way in, discerning the priesthood, getting to know them and their story, the manner of their call, and helping to understand where God's moving in their lives and how to say yes to that.
Yes. Yes. I love that so much. And I always love seeing the seminarians serving in Mass. It's always touches my heart really deeply, actually. So I want to know what I was kind of talking a little bit. I talked about how you've committed the parish to coming out to Planned Parenthood and praying. Can you speak about the power in that and what made you say, hey, we need to commit as a parish once a month to come out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a great thing that our parish has gotten to be involved in, to go stand outside, for two things. One is for prayer, primarily, but also for the witness to what is taking place in the abortion centers. We had here in our program Abby Johnson, and part of the reason for being out there is actually a statistic that I heard from her when she was here. She spoke at one of our fundraising events for Miravia a couple of years ago, and she noted that due to Planned Parenthood's internal polling, they noticed that they had a no-show rate, I think approaching 75%.
Up to 75%, I think, yeah.
When there are people outside.
Yes.
And so for a couple of those reasons, one is, of course for prayer, for the witness, but also for the conversion of our culture.
Yeah.
And for people not just to miss their appointments, but also for everybody driving by, that they can be woken up to what is going on here, and that their hearts may be touched as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I always say that even if no one's driving by, even if you don't see the fruit of your labor, the Lord is always working through that prayer, through you showing up, faithfully showing up,
right?
He's always working, and we need to be there. We need to know what it's like to go there, to see what it's like firsthand.
Unfortunately, that's true as well.
Yeah, I believe that's very powerful, because if we don't know, it's like we don't really fully know what's going on. And I know I really respect you so much for even taking the time to become a trained sidewalk advocate, because you went through the training, and I know that you said that you enjoyed it and it was informative for you. And I'm wondering if it's even kind of helped you just even as a pastor, like even think through some things a little more, a little deeper.
Of course it does. I myself and a number of our parishioners have been able to go through the training. And the part of the reason I was attracted to it is that it gives you the tools. I think so many are willing to come outside and to pray and to witness. But the next step is the tough one, to go and actually approach a car, approach a person, and have a conversation.
Yeah.
Taking that step is a very difficult one, and I think rightly so. But what the training for sidewalk advocates has done for myself and for many members of the parish is give those tools and that confidence.
Right,
so that we can actually You know, as we were saying, prayer and witness are you know, sort of our primary reasons for being out there as a parish. But when sidewalk advocates are out there, they're out there to make saves and to intervene in the lives of women and men to save them from being taken in
by this
temptation that they have to end their baby's life.
Yes, and also Sidewalk Advocates for Life talks about a lot of places to send them for help, right? Whether that's a national resource like Option Line that connects people to pregnancy care centers no matter where they live, or perhaps abortion pill reversal information. So lots of amazing resources, because not only do we need to be there to help talk to them, but we need to know where to send them for help,
right?
And so Be Not Afraid is a ministry out of our, it was, I believe, formed in our diocese, not officially connected to the diocese, but Be Not Afraid is the prenatal diagnosis organization. And so even things like that families don't know about when they're facing like a life-limiting diagnosis, when a woman is pregnant, resources like that are so vital even for pastors to know about, right? I'm sure that you get calls from parishioners that have lost a baby, whether that's by miscarriage or stillbirth, and I know how beautiful church teaching is about respecting that human life and how unique it is. And also, I know that people have conversions because of the way they were treated maybe or supported during a loss like that by a Catholic priest or through the church. And so have you personally, I'm just curious out of curiosity, have you had to walk alongside of anyone or recently or in your 5+ years of being a priest?
Sure, of course
yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
And through all different walks, unfortunately recently we've had a couple who have suffered a loss like that. And you're right. It's one of those places where we are greatly comforted by all the teachings that Christ has given us. We talk about the sanctity of human life, and we talk about that in the arena of abortion. But that's something that is equally consoling to a woman who has lost her child, a father who has lost his child, to be able to take comfort in the truth that that Christ loves your baby even more than you do,
right.
As difficult as that is to wrap your mind around. And that's upon the loss of a pregnancy, where does that child go? Into the arms of our Lord.
Yes.
And that can be greatly consoling to mothers and fathers who suffer this loss, in addition with, being able to refer them to other groups who help emotionally, psychologically, et cetera, with all the pain and suffering that can come about as a result of that loss.
Yeah. Definitely. And I just want to thank you for your leadership. I was mentioning Father Peter Asik and yourself and just my gratitude for you for speaking about this issue, for bringing it into your homilies when you can, and just engaging the parish, because it really does draw people to get more involved. So thank you for your leadership, and it's always a pleasure to see you. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Father, I'll let you get going, and thank you so much.
Great. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. God bless you.
God bless you. All right. So next up, I have one more speaker, and I'm so excited that she's coming. So I'm going to let her get set up here. This is the last speaker of the day before we wrap everything up. This is Lydia Sundberg. Is that how you say your last name?
Sundberg. Yes.
And I am so excited to have Lydia here because she is a sidewalk advocate in Charlotte, North Carolina, serving in front of the Planned Parenthood and doing loving, peaceful outreach there. After the Hebron Clinic closed, you and the team came over to the Planned Parenthood. You went through some discernment, figuring out where to go and what to do, right? And so what has it been like post-Roe? What has it been like here locally post-Roe?
There are some changes. We are seeing some out-of-state plates.
Yeah.
Cars coming from...
What license plates are you seeing?
Texas, Missouri.
Wow.
We see, I think, in Arkansas a few times.
Wow. Totally different than Asheville.
Yes. And what we are seeing also... There is a lot more training for the escort.
Okay, like more organization going on.
Yes, and not just to be there, but also they are organizing like a travel agency to bring people into Charlotte. Who's going to pick them up at the airport? Who's going to drive them to the clinic? Who's going to do that?
So, you mean for the clients?
Yes. So it's like a travel agency for abortion.
Right, right. To get them connected to everything they need so that they can come from out of state. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So I was eavesdropping on one of their trainings, and I'm like, well, we need to do something because they are planning ahead to bring more people, so we need to plan ahead to receive these people and see how we can stop them.
Sure.
The abortion facility.
Sure. You know, so I just want to mention that Sidewalk Advocates for Life has a closure celebration video on the YouTube channel for Sidewalk Advocates for Life, which Lydia is a part of. And one of my very favorite things that is up on that video is what you said in that video, which was, do you want to repeat the words? Do you remember?
Yes. Please, and I saw her
it's
today.
It's a prayer. Yeah. Tell me what that was.
Jesus, let me see your face in you, in her.
Yes.
Let me see your face in her.
Yeah.
And she is here earlier today screaming, and I said, oh, that's our friend. We love her.
Yeah, you do love her,
I know
that you do, and I know that it's sincere, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's such a beautiful prayer and reflection, even when it's really difficult, when people are unkind or they're screaming or saying, vulgar things or curse words. Unfortunately, sidewalk advocates have to experience all kinds of things occasionally, not all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Not in every abortion facility, tends to get intense here in the city.
Yeah. Some of them were really nice to us, really nice to me. And I saw one, so now I go on a non-abortion day, so I don't see escorts only when there's training. So I saw one that I haven't seen since 2020.
Okay.
And I said, oh, I really miss that guy, because we had
a rapport with him. Okay.
I say hi. I said, no, my handcuffs will not like that. So I'll just stay on this side.
Yeah. But, you know, your heart is to speak to them in a kind way and to you pray for their conversion, that they're going to see the truth one day and really come to know Jesus, hopefully, right?
Yes.
And have a better life. And so an abundant life in Christ is really the best life to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think what else I wanted to talk about. Like, I know that the abortion workers were here, that you already probably had a chance to meet when we did the closing celebration there in front of the Hebron Clinic. They were here today. Did you get to listen to their testimonies?
Yes,
yeah, what touches you the most about what God did when he closed that abortion facility down and he also brought workers out of the industry because they had a conversion?
During the speech that she did at the closing ceremony, she said how she was feeling something, and she was counseling women that were going there for abortions, and she would say, you don't have to do this, or there's other things. Now, on the outside, we were praying every day.
Oh, she was telling the women, when they were coming in, they thought they were pregnant, they were doing the counseling prior to the abortion, and she would say, you don't have to do that.
Yes. So we never knew this until they closed. On the outside, we were there for 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
And
right after, like right before, is it 2020 or right before?
We started 2019.
Yeah.
So even during COVID, everything, we could not see anybody.
Right.
We could not talk with anybody.
Everybody has their masks on. You can't really even smile at someone.
Yep.
Right.
So we were wondering, like, why are we here? What are we doing? It's like we cannot even talk to anyone.
Right.
But we continued to go and pray. Father Peter always tells us our prayers are doing something. We
don't
see it. We might not see it ever until we get to heaven. And that was our hope. And we're just waiting and praying and trusting in God. So when we hear her message and that she was feeling something and that she was doing this counseling, pro-life counseling, inside the abortion facility, we were like, oh, wow, God really works miracles. Like,
no kidding.
We cannot believe that.
Something in her heart was trying to basically encourage people and empower them to choose life. And there were women that would walk out of that abortion facility. They would not go through with their appointment.
Yep.
Yeah, so I hope that everyone that was not here with us present physically today for the march can listen to the march somehow. I believe they recorded it today, and I'm not sure who will be able. I think Tina Witt will have access to the recording of the march and all the speakers. But what a beautiful experience to be here, to stand for life. What are you looking forward to the most in 2023? Like, what are you looking for? What are you hoping to see from the pro-life movement?
I started saying this during Christmas break. I said, we're going to close Planned Parenthood.
Yes. Yes, I love it. You got to set those goals extremely high because God can do all things if he wants to. It's his will. Yes. I think that is a great thing to close on, Lydia. Thank you for your courage. And we are so grateful for you and your team of Sidewalk Advocates. And we hope that it's a powerful year of prayer. All right? Okay. Thanks, Lydia. Alrighty. Okay, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Carolina Catholic Media Network today. Broadcasting live from the March for Life. We hope to see you soon.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Carolina Catholic Media Showcase. For more information about us and to support our nonprofit mission of broadcasting the message of Jesus Christ, visit CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and follow, friend, and like us on social media by searching for Carolina Catholic Radio.
This has been an encore presentation of the Carolina Catholic Media Network on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at CarolinaCatholicMedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.